Broadcasting live from the beautiful Hilton Beachfront Hotel in Pensacola, Florida, it's the 2015 I-10 Wired Summit. Now, here are your business radio X hosts.
Hey, it's Keith Overt broadcasting live from I-10 Wired Summit out here on beautiful Pensacola Beach. And I have with us Miss Glenda Snodgrass, who we actually got to speak to a little bit yesterday, right?
Yeah, we'll just a minute.
A little bit, huh?
Yep.
So you are with TNE, the Net Effect. So tell us about the Net Effect.
The Net Effect is a technology consulting firm. We started in Mobile in 1996, which kind of makes us old in the field.
Yeah, it sure does, right?
And we have specialized in information security from the very beginning. In fact, our very first job in 96 was a custom firewall for a healthcare provider back when you couldn't just buy firewalls anywhere because they weren't really available.
You had to actually design it.
We actually built it from the ground up on a computer.
Did you happen to get the patent on that one?
No, wish I had.
But we were speaking to the intellectual property guy earlier.
Right,
that's
Hunter.
Right. He's giving me all kinds of ideas. I'm like, man, I've got to start getting some patents.
Oh, yeah. Talking to Hunter is enlightening experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So 1996 is your first custom firewall, and yet here you are today, 2015, the I-10 Wired Summit. So let's talk about some of the changes you've seen.
Well, it's been pretty amazing, really. In the first 5 years or so that we were in business, a lot of companies just didn't take us that seriously. They weren't that worried, you know. And then right around 2000 or so, business owners started getting more interested in security, not really so much in keeping bad guys out, but they were more concerned about monitoring what their employees were doing on the job. You know, it was more about, I want a firewall because I want to see who's on Facebook or who's on Instagram. Well, there was no Instagram then.
I was going to say, was Facebook even back then?
Well,
I don't think
MySpace.
So. MySpace.
That's that's who they started out worrying about, MySpace. And then, you know, 5 years or so later, people started getting more worried about security, no doubt about that. But really, we consider 2013 to be the turning point, the watershed year. Edward Snowden, followed by the Target breach. Those two events in such close proximity in time simply brought the level of awareness, you know, exponentially higher than it was before.
Yeah.
So a lot has changed just in the last 2 to 3 years.
Well, and not only has it changed, but it has changed fast. And it has changed a lot. Because I had, prior to being on this committee with them getting this started and doing the Business Radio X stuff with them, thought I was pretty savvy in what I understood about being out there that could get you or not get you. And there's days I've walked away from the meetings being like, I'm a little scared, but what's going on. So, and I'm a pretty up-to-the-date guy, and I like to think I keep myself informed, but I can imagine some of those that honestly just have no clue.
No, it's true. You have absolutely no clue. And what most people don't understand, the biggest thing that has just changed really in the last, I would say, 2 years, is that we're not talking hacking anymore. And forget about script kiddies and all that stuff you see in the movies. It's about cybercrime. Okay, just a few months ago, cybercrime passed the drug trade worldwide as the most profitable area of crime. I mean, think about that. My entire adult life, drug crime has been the biggie. I mean, that's been it. You know, from Miami Vice back in the 80s, it's been drug crime. Well, now there's less money in drugs than there is in cybercrime. Mm-hmm. And it's an industry. You can buy malware on the dark net. You can license it for how many numbers of people you want to attack.
Yep.
You can license it for a period of time. You have modules. You have options.
All untraceable.
Exactly. Exactly. It's become big business. And that is what has really changed everything in the last couple of years when cybercrime became business.
Yeah. Well, the one way to fight cybercrime is just stay off the internet.
Well, that's true.
Mean, you know, that's
right. But everybody else can't stay off. And I think that was the biggest thing to me is, like, you can stay at home, you can lock your doors, you can turn off your computers. But the fact of the matter is, every time you use your credit card, every time you may go withdraw from the bank, I mean, all of that stuff, every time you register for something,
it's all connected. There.
Well, nowadays, you can't hardly even buy an appliance that doesn't have internet built in. Even you cannot
you
get a thermostat.
You know what's in my fridge before I do.
You cannot get a thermostat in your house that doesn't have Wi-Fi built into it. And you know what? A government guy came up to me this morning after my presentation and said, one thing you didn't mention you might want to think about in your future presentations is those loyalty programs at the grocery store and the drugstore.
Right.
He said, it's actually easier for us to get that data than it is to get Facebook data.
Sure it is.
He said, we know everything you eat, everything you drink, every prescription you fill, every doctor that you go to see, anything that you pay for with a credit card, those loyalty memberships. He said, we know so much about you from those loyalty cards.
Yeah. And not all is that data being used for fun, exciting end user things for you to enjoy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so you just said at your presentation this morning, so that we know that's why you're here at I-10, but let's talk about your presentation.
Cyber self-defense, protecting your online identity.
You are like the kung fu of...
I am the kung fu, but yeah. I exercise your brain.
Okay? There we go.
Because that's what it's all about. So many people, what I really try to combat is this feeling of apathy and hopelessness that people have. You know, everybody knows anything anyway, I can't do anything to protect myself, and that is so not true, because the human brain is so much smarter than all of these computerized systems trying to come after us. If we just take the time to become aware, to pay more attention to what we're doing, to learn a few simple techniques, you actually can take control of your identity and your security. You can make a huge difference in what you're letting go and how open you're leaving yourself to be. You just have to work at it just a little bit.
Yeah. And you may come to find that there's actually some things that you liked to do that you probably need to get over.
Well, you know,
I mean, for instance, I'm now rethinking every loyalty program I've ever joined.
Well, I was going to say, you know, one of my slides is something that my mama told me, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That's right.
And sometimes we just really have to step back and say, well, I can put this on my phone or I can do that on the computer, but should I? You know, like those advertisements. Okay, a lot of those advertisements are social engineering tricks to get you to click on the link and download malware to your computer. It's called malvertising. Okay. We all know that there are not five foods that you can avoid that will magically eliminate belly fat. Okay? Intellectually, we know that is true. But there's always hope, right?
Yep, exactly.
And that is what they're working
on. Like the
on.
10 things that make your relationship successful.
Right.
Yeah, I see that one all the time.
You see that stuff all the time. And just because you can click on that link doesn't mean that you should.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to exercise a little restraint and think. Think before you click.
Well, and so you hit on something else, too, that really struck me was everyone has a phone.
Yep.
Right? And I was told yesterday that there was more technology in my Galaxy Note right here than it was the technology it took to get somebody to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I let that sink in overnight.
Right.
That's huge.
It is huge.
Okay? So we're not talking big companies. We're not talking, you know, all this weird defense or just the movie stuff. We're talking everyday individuals using something that they think is safe.
That's
causing... all kinds of could cause all kinds of problems.
That has the potential to do so much, and so many. Again, putting internet in so many devices, the computing power in these things that shouldn't even really have computers in them necessarily. It's ridiculous how much power we're building in. There was a security researcher, a pair of them actually, that installed the video game Doom on a Canon printer.
Wow!
It's a printer.
Yeah.
But it has again so much computing power that it's capable of running a video game from 10 years ago.
Huh.
Just as a proof of concept to help people understand that just because it's a printer doesn't mean that it can't have software put on it to do other things.
Or carry a virus or get into the other things.
Exactly.
So, all right, so now here comes the really cool question. If you installed Doom on the 3D printer, could we get some really cool images?
Could you really print some stuff? Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to ask the UWF profs that were just here about that. Yeah,
I got all kinds of ideas for them.
Oh,
now.
I bet.
So, as you were giving your presentation this morning, I want to know what were some of the questions that people were asking you.
Well, I have to tell you, nobody gets to ask questions because I have
so much to talk about.
I start at the beginning. I say, look, I've got so much to talk about. I'm going to Zoom, but I'll be here all day. Ask me all the questions that you want to ask afterwards.
Okay, well, then let's take it to the effect of the net effect in your business.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the most popular questions that you get asked in reference to this stuff? What do I do? How do I do it?
For small businesses, the first question, well, here are two funny ones. For small businesses, the first question is always, do I really need to worry? I'm a small business. And my answer is yes. They know you're a small business. They know you're spending less money. Yep. They know you don't have full-time IT staff. You're at greater risk.
Sure.
Okay, and because it's about crime now, it's about money. Do they rob poor people too? Sure they do. It's easier to break into a
penny's
poorhouse.
A penny.
Right, exactly. So that's always number one. Number two, especially when it comes to compliance, like credit card compliance, PCI and that sort of thing, is am I really liable? You know, is that my responsibility or is that my software vendor, my hardware vendor, my phone service vendor? And, you know, my answer to that question always is the only way to find out who's really liable, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Because the only way to find out is actually get sued and go to court.
Right.
That's when you find out.
Yeah.
And at that point, who's won?
Yeah,
the lawyers.
Nobody. Yeah, yeah. Because everybody's lost
their
money.
They get paid no matter who is found out to be liable. So there's always some C-level exec in the room that wants to know who's liable. And my answer always has to be, you don't want to find out. You want to be as secure as you can be so that your business doesn't get hacked, so you never have to find out exactly the extent of your liability.
Yeah, I guess.
Just protect yourself right off the bat.
Right, and which also always follows, just call you, right?
Well, certainly calling me is a good first step, yes.
So, well, and you'd mentioned the credit card things, and I've always been, thanks to my father, a very good world traveler. So I've noticed this year we have the chip in
right.
the cards, and you have to do it. Well,
right.
to me, it was like, okay, well, you're finally catching up to the rest of the world, but does that really protect us?
No. Do you want me to tell you something you're
yeah,
not going to believe?
Go for it.
Yesterday, a French criminal gang was arrested. They have successfully counterfeited chip and PIN cards. They solder another type of chip onto the chip on the card. They encode that chip with the information that's visible on the card.
Sure.
And they tell it to work with any PIN that's entered.
Wow. So
something
you literally
like 3
have a
million
card
in
for
sales.
Any bank that you could...
Right.
Wow.
Right. So the whole chip and PIN thing has already been circumvented in Europe before we even got it implemented here in the
yeah.
U.S. So where that's going to take us from here, I really don't know.
Right. Because that was supposed to be a fail-safe.
That was supposed to be the next big... Yeah. And in fact, in the U.S., we haven't even really gone to chip and PIN. We've gone to chip and signature for the most part.
Yeah.
Which wasn't even as secure as
yeah,
chip and PIN.
Yeah, because you can still swipe right there at the same
right.
machine.
But they've already figured out how to bypass chip
yeah.
and PIN. So... I'm curious to see what the banks are going to come up with next.
I had to, my dad and I were going to take the train out one day, and I had to use my card, and of course I didn't think to call ahead
right.
prior to and let them know I was going to be there, and they were like, well, you don't have a chip, and I'm like, well, what do you mean I don't have a chip? So that's when I sort of realized, like, the rest of the larger London and Paris.
Right,
and
they were doing other
yeah,
things.
Yeah, they were
yeah.
doing all these other things.
Yeah, well,
already,
I'll tell you, I lived in Europe in the late 80s and early 90s, and they were ahead of us
yeah.
technologically even back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really amazing how much farther ahead they were
yeah.
than
and,
us.
And well, and they still are, obviously, if they're already hacking the chips and
yeah.
stuff.
So. Oh, yeah.
You know, you hope one of those guys jumps with the good guys and says, hey, this is how we did it, and this is how you're going to stop it.
Yeah.
So,
well, knowing how they did it, knowing how they stopped it are two very different things.
Right.
That's part of the problem.
Well, and that's a lot of what we've been seeing here. I mean, we were talking with the hackers last night. And I mean, yeah, a young kid, Ryan, what was his name, Thomas?
Yes.
Yeah. So even him last night was like, yeah, we're going to show you what we can get from a flash drive.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to take over a drone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know... At his age, I was still trying to figure out Nintendo games, let alone hack into, like, major systems and stuff. But you're right. I mean, and the whole idea was to, we're going to figure out how you did it so we can figure out how to prevent it.
Right.
So there's a lot going into that now.
There is a lot going into that. And that's, you know, one of those things where we in the security community are a little bit concerned about some of the initiatives in Congress right now. They're talking about writing a law to make it illegal to hack a car. Well... That
it's
just
not going to stop anybody.
Well, it's not going to stop the bad guys, but
I mean.
It'll stop the security researchers who discover the flaws that can be reported back
right.
to the companies to get them corrected. So, you know, Congress needs to be educated a little bit more on security and how
yeah.
things really work in order to pass laws that are going to help or just stay out of the way,
yeah.
you know, one way or the other.
You know, I'm glad you said that because today we have some great representation from our state legislative
oh, really?
Branch as well. We have Clay Ingram, who is our state legislator, as well as the head of the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay.
So not only is he here representing the community, but he's also here as a legislative piece, too.
Oh, great.
Seeing this. We have a couple other commissioners that were here this morning as well that, as a matter of fact, Doug Underhill, who jumped up and said, hey, this is something that's needed, and this is something
yeah.
that has to be translated from beyond just Pensacola Beach or your facility in Mobile or anywhere else to a grander scale.
Right.
Because we either all rise together or we're all going to sink
together.
That's
it. And we have all got to wake up and start paying attention to this.
And we're all connected.
Yes.
We are all connected.
All the time, whether you
yeah.
like it or not.
That's right. It's no longer 6 degrees. It's like probably half.
Yeah.
Half a degree
of separation at most.
So,
yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Glenda, let's tell them where people can find you if they have any more or want any more information or want
website,
to get your services.
Our website, www.theneteffect.com. You can also find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. I post information security tips and tricks and news every single
cool.
day, which is free for you to use. Tell your kids, tell your employees, put it in your security newsletter.
Yeah.
Just doing everything that we can to get the word out that we can actually take control of our security if we just work at it, learn a little bit, and pay
yeah.
attention.
And
that's
we're going to have
to. Thing. We're going to have to.
Yeah. So anything else that you want to, I want to know what else you want to see here today. You already spoke, so you can't nominate yourself. But
that's true.
What What are you excited about?
Well, I'm sorry I missed the 3D presentation this morning. I really wanted to see that. But
yeah,
that was,
I didn't get, we were setting up here.
Yeah, well,
ready to broadcast,
I was speaking, so I missed that one. But Brent Hutfliss is the CIO at Austal Shipbuilding, and he's speaking
at
the next hour on the future of cybersecurity. And Brent's very knowledgeable. I've known him for quite a while, and I'm looking forward to his presentation. Yeah. So that's definitely going to be one worth looking at.
Yeah, well, and I can imagine they've also such a – well, and you're over in Mobile, right?
Right.
So – and I used to work over there, so I was driving through and see the big pirate killers being built.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a huge facility. I can imagine his cyber team has to be on.
You almost
can't
even
imagine. Military government and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's going to have some good insight for us, too. But anything you think you know you want to see next year? By the way, we're going to have another one next year. I'm sure we are.
I'm really excited about it. I've been really impressed at the quality of the presentations today and the amount of information. The only thing I regret is that it's all happening at the same time, and you have to make so many choices. Yeah. I'd love to see it be 2 days next year, guys.
That's what we were saying earlier. It needs to be a multiple day conference with plenty of speakers and attendees and breakout sessions.
Well, and repeats too. That's something that I've seen other conferences when they have multiple tracks going on, is that the most popular presentations will actually be done twice, so that if you can't see it the one time, you can see it the second time. You know, maybe some of them could be repeats like that too. That would be great.
Yeah, well, that's good. And we've been asking a lot of our guests too, because obviously Jim and Kelly and all of those involved in here, they're planning for next year. They were planning next year before we even started finishing the committees
for this year.
Yeah.
But
that's the truth.
But and they've done a great job.
The multi-day thing has come up quite, you know, frequently, actually. Mm-hmm. I think five or six of the interviews we've done have said, we want more time to do it. Because you're right, it's so much information you've
there
got
is.
Here.
And as speakers, we're automatically going to miss one whole segment because we're up, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, not only that, but it's so in-depth, too. Even yesterday, just talking with you and watching the panel and some of the other interviews we were doing, didn't digest until almost midnight last night when I was just finally chilling out for a minute. And then this morning, I'm waking up with all kinds of new questions and ideas. And we're printing Pez dispensers at UWF tomorrow. You know what I mean? So all these things came because it was so dense in what this takes and what it is.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, lots of good information here today.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And hanging out with us. I wish the rest of your iTunes experience to be as cool as this one's been for me. So.
Well, great. Thank you. I'm sure it will be.
We're going to get you a bunch of this stuff, and I'd really like to have you come back on our Pensacola studio.
Oh, sure.
And talk more about this. Obviously, we could spend all day for it.
I can talk hours and hours and hours about this
stuff. We can dedicate a whole show to you.
You're going to have to give me a time limit, guys, because I can talk forever about this stuff. Yeah. I'm really passionate about it.
Well, we'll be in touch, because I really would love you and love to have you on there. And we're right downstairs from the Innovation Institute and some of the other key players here. So, you know, we could make a whole cyber day out of it if we wanted to.
Oh, that sounds fun.
You know? We'll ask them to get the speaker that you missed while you were speaking. How about that?
There you go. Yeah. We can geek out.
All right, everybody. Well, this has been Keith Hover, Pensacola Business Radio, broadcasting live from I-10 Wired. You can find us at pensacola.businessradiox.com, at Pcola Radio X, or on our Facebook page at Pensacola Business Radio. Glenda, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.